Amen. Aren't you excited that we're back in church and normal service as usual?
Yeah.
Yay. Why don't you stand with us as we go to the Lord in worship?
That he has risen again. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see some of you, some of your faces I haven't seen in a while. And it's good to get back to normal. But how many of you know that the gospel, no matter whether it's a pandemic or not, has continued to go forth? Nothing stands in the way of what the Lord has commanded us to do. And what he has put in motion from the grave as he rose and he gave eternal life for all who would receive it. And nothing that any disease, nothing man could create will stop that. Amen? Amen. Would you go with me and let's just go to the Lord in prayer and to thank the Lord this morning for allowing us all to be here. Lord, I lift up my hand today and I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for being better to us than we deserve. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us more than we could ever earn, Lord, more than we could ever pay for. But yet today we stand here in this place with the opportunity to surrender our lives to you and to worship you. Lord, may our worship May the message, may the presentation, and all that the missionary will challenge us with today, may everything that happens in this place bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we welcome you into this place. Lord, we ask that your presence would be in this place. We are believing for life change today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated for a few moments as I share with you a few announcements today. First of all, if you're a guest, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for coming and being a part of our service today. We want to say that you are more than welcome, not just welcome, more than welcome. And we hope that today you're a guest, but we hope that you feel like family from this point forward. There's a card in the seat back in front of you, and it's just a little guest card. And if you're a guest, would you take a moment to take that card and fill it out? And in a little bit here, we're going to be receiving the tithe and offering, and you just place that card in there. It helps us to have a record of your attendance. It helps us to know that you came to visit with us and worship with us, and it's just a way of us being able to communicate back with you and say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of what we are doing here at Noble Assembly of God. Let me tell you something. There is a lot going on here at the church. As we announced several weeks ago that when June hit, that we would open everything back up, and man, has everything opened up. This stuff and the events and all the ministries that we have had planned are going forth now. And so just hold on to your seat as I talk about a few of those things. And then we'll move forward. And I'll give you a report. Many of you are asking about our garage sale. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But want to remind you that next Sunday, you're going to want to be here to celebrate with our seniors, our graduates. All right? We've got 5 graduates that will be walking across the stage. We'll be seeing a video and honoring them. And so we want you to be here to cheer them on. It was a little bit of a different senior year for our graduates, but we're gonna make it an awesome time and help them to celebrate in this way on next Sunday morning. This week, we're still doing the community food giveaway. We're going to be giving food away right here underneath our breezeway. Some of you have signed up to go on with us on Thursday, and you've asked me what time. I don't know yet, and so we'll be posting that information as soon as I get it, what time we need to go up to the city to pick the food up on Thursday. If you're helping me with that, you can obviously call me here at the church. You can, if you need an update, you can also call me on my cell phone, but I'll be updating on the Facebook, and if I have your number, I'll be texting you and saying, hey, this is the time that we need to go up there and pick that stuff up. And then some of you have signed up for Saturday, and you've come, and you're going to help either direct traffic around, you're just going to greet and wave at people and say, hey, we love you, or maybe you're going to be underneath the carport and helping, handing out boxes, or inside the building, making sure the boxes move forward as we give out these boxes of food. They're going to be between 10 to 15 pounds, and there's supposed to be enough food for a family of 4, and so we're going to be giving those out while supplies last, and hopefully it's a blessing to our community. Amen? Amen. 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 And then we've got the Easter egg hunt that you can sign up also out there to help us with. That's on Saturday, June 27th. We already have all the stuff for it, the Easter eggs and the candy and everything. We just decided, you know what? We can hunt for eggs anytime we want. And so we're going to do it on the 27th. We'll still do a gospel presentation. We'll still have the bikes to give away. And I know that it's going to be a great time of just ministry and fun. So this Tuesday also starts back the prayer meeting. And so they meet right here. It's open to anybody. They meet here right in the sanctuary. It's going to be on Tuesday at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. You can come up here. If you have time, if you have a moment of time, you're not at work, and you can come and agree together. They come and they pray over the needs of the church, pray for each other's needs and any needs that Pastor and I would give them. And it's a great ministry, great ministry. How many of you know prayer makes things happen? Come on. I challenge you. I hope you've been praying during all this. I believe we've seen the Lord work through many things simply because we've dedicated our time to prayer. I think I've announced most of the things that are happening. And so I wanted to give you a report. Let me just say this. Thank you to those of you who said, you know what, I've got some boxes of stuff I can donate to the garage sale. Some of you said, hey, I've got an extra bed, or I've got a sofa, or I've got a stove, I've got golf clubs, I've got whatever. We had so much stuff out there. I'm going to be honest with you. I called and asked Noah if he could bring the ark, but he said we couldn't float it down there. So we just took it one trailer at a time down there. It took us 4 hours to take the stuff from the room to the grass out there, and then we had to sort it. We were out there Thursday, then we sold Friday and Saturday, and as of last night, I counted every penny. This does not include our silent auction, which I'll tell you about in just a second. Our record for garage sale, guys, was $2,800. That's the most we've ever made. This year, we have $6,800 is what we made at the garage sale. Yeah. I mean, come on now. Come on. I was counting the money, and I looked over. My boys were helping me count change last night. We were finishing up, and I was holding the 20s, and I said, guys, I have $4,000 in 20s in my hand right now. Have you ever held $4,000 in 20s? That was awesome. So anyway, I said, listen. There are people selling drugs right now thinking they're awesome. Look what God can do. Listen, come on, look at what God can do. He can raise money. Amen. 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 We had a couple ladies in our church that were kind enough. They not only made some donations, but they also built for us 7 baskets. They got some donations from Starbucks. There's 4 baskets back there that in the foyer that have a couple of bags of Starbucks coffee plus a cool Starbucks mug, different one in each one. And so we're doing a silent auction. It will end 5 minutes after service is over. We're just going to give a few minutes for people to bid, and then if you win, you can pay for it then and take it. Otherwise, those who won, we had a community member who's not even part of our church who bid $100 on one of our baskets, and so we know that with that money, we're already secure that we're gonna have raised over $7,000, and it's all going to go to our missions work and all that we do in the youth department. And so let's give the Lord a hand clap one more time for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers. We got ushers? This is weird. We haven't had ushers in a little while. Now, the ushers, they ain't got any better looking, but they're still here. All right, now. All right. Get the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. How many of you know? Let me tell you something. Not only has the Lord remained faithful to answer our needs, the Lord has remained faithful as we as a church, as a body of believers, to continue to be faithful in our giving. And it has just launched us forward as a church. Thank you again for being faithful in your giving. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now for all the blessings you put out and poured out upon us. Lord, we've seen it as we've worked hard doing a garage sale, as people have given just sacrificially and graciously. Lord, as people have worked hard, Lord, you put your hand of blessing upon that. And Lord, we've seen as you put your hand of blessing upon all the giving and the tithe and the offering. Lord, may you multiply it, because all of this is so that people will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship as soon as the bag comes by you.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love. My father. forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yeah, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
You know, we all get to be children of God if we accept Him and just ask Him to come into our heart and ask Him to forgive us of our sin. And the reason we can do that is because He died on the cross for us.
Amen.
So let's just praise Him this morning for all that He's done. We've been through the pandemic with the coronavirus, and He's taken care of a lot of us. He provided for us financially, kept us healthy. I think that's worth worshiping and praising Him about. Lord Jesus, I just thank You this morning for all that You've done. For putting a hedge of protection around my family and around everyone in this church who's my church family, Lord. And I just want to glorify Your name and praise You for all that You've done, for providing for us financially, that we haven't had to worry, that You've been there and You've taken a hold of our hand and You've led and walked us through this, Lord. And we just praise You for the ultimate sacrifice that You've given, dying on the cross for us, that one day that we can be with You eternally. We just can't wait for that day that we can spend time with You and worshiping You. Thank You, Jesus, Lord. We praise You. Christ alone
space. I rest on His unchanging grace.
Thank you that through the storm you are Lord of all. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with our nation. We pray, Father God, for healing in our land, both of the virus and of the conflicts going on. We just pray for a deep sense of peace and calm, for rest over our country, Lord. We just pray for a healing in our land. Lord, we do pray for Shirley Grindstaff, who's having surgery on Thursday. I pray that you bring her through this without any problems. Father, we pray for Robert James, who is in the hospital with cancer, and Doug Carter as well. We pray that you just touch these two men fighting cancer. Lord, just minister to them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Back in October at our Light for the Lost banquet, I met a young lady there that is doing some missions work, and she just really spoke through you loud and clear. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 3. Luke. Oh, hang on. I forgot. We're going to do an offering. Yes, we're going to do a second offering today. So, ushers, would you go ahead and come? And I don't think we need musicians, Don. I think we're fine. Yeah, I almost forgot that. Man, that's what happens when you get 47. Amen. If you're making out an offering envelope, put on there. I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Father, we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the word this morning. I pray, God, that you would just use it to further the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts, Father God. And we just thank you, God, for meeting with us, speaking to us, directing us, and touching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, we preached on the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And today, I would like to continue that message with part two. I feel that the need is so great. I feel that the harvest is so vast that we must avail ourselves of all the tools in the tool shed, so to speak. The Holy Spirit is the greatest tool for harvesting people for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. That's what we were just hearing about. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be very limited in the fulfillment and obedience of the Great Commission, that of going and preaching and teaching and baptizing and making disciples in all the world. We will also be more apt to be fearful, to be anxious in the troubling days we are living in, rather than calmly knowing that you are in the center of God's will and that he is watching over you and that he wants to use you to bring hope and peace to others. The subtitle for the message this morning is, "Let the Lord do something." Amen? Just let the Lord do something. Lord, whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to do in my family, in this church, in our town, in our city, in our state, in this nation, in the world, Lord, do it. Amen? Do it, Lord. There's three statements I want to make, the three main points of the message this morning. Number one, he wants to. He wants to. The Lord wants to do something. His will is what he wants to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's right. He wants to move in your life. He wants to bring forth his will in your life. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bring favor, and he wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to build faith and strength in your heart. The Lord wants to do something. Everybody say this with me. The Lord wants to do something. He absolutely wants to do something. Lord, do something in me. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing." Everybody say, "No good thing." The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. One of those things of doing right is that of seeking him and allowing him to do and continue to do something in your life. That's one of the good things that he wants to do, and one of the things that we are to do, one of the right things out of those, that scripture again. What was that? Put that scripture up there again, Kate. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. One of those right things is saying, God, whatever you have for me, I want it. Amen. We should continually pray, Lord Jesus, do something in me. Fill me. Use me. Empower me. Enable me to do your perfect will. Baptize me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Use me to touch my city. Use me to touch the world. Help me to be like you. I dare, that's some of the prayers that you prayed, right? And that's some of the prayers we all need to pray. Lord, do something in me. Empower me that I can touch my world. How many of you know this world needs a big touch? This world needs a touch in a mighty way. There's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of hurt and pain in our world. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit more now than ever in the days in which we live, the days before the coming of the Lord. In relation to the Holy Spirit, what was Jesus' like? What was Jesus and the Holy Spirit's relationship like? Where we read in Luke just a few moments ago gives us some clues there. Let me read that again. Luke 3:21, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." I want you to notice three things about these verses we just read. Number one, it says, as he was what? As he was praying. As he was praying. If you are going to go anywhere with God, and I believe including heaven when you die, you must be a person who prays. Amen? Nobody's ever received anything from God and didn't pray for it. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to be a person of prayer. Why would the Lord want anyone as a part of his bride in heaven that never talked to him on earth? You say, but I thought it was by grace that we're saved. It is, but if you're saved, you'll pray. If you're a saved person, you'll want to talk to your heavenly Father. Now, I know we can all pray more. I mean, every one of us can live closer. Every one of us can pray more. But if you are going to serve God and you're a Christian, you're going to want to pray. And you will pray. My point specifically is this. The key. Everybody say the key. The key to receiving anything from the Lord, whether it's baptism, gifts, salvation, blessing, favor, guidance, whatever, is praying and seeking God. That's the key. As he was praying, Jesus prayed. Why did Jesus need to pray? Well, he came down as the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. He was fully God and fully man. He was an example to us that in order for us to be blessed and favored and empowered, we need to pray. And so Jesus, it says, as he was praying, the Lord moved. And we'll get to that in a moment. The Bible says we have not because we ask not, or we ask with wrong motives. In other words, we need to pray maybe something like this. Lord Jesus, I am your child. I have received your grace, and I thank you, but I believe according to the scripture there is another work of grace. There is more for me. There is the baptism in the Holy Spirit that I would like to have. And Lord, I would like for you to right now give me that again, or give me that for the first time so that I can fulfill your plan for my life. God, I want all of you. Amen? As he was praying, that's the key. As we pray, God moves. As we pray, God answers. God sees, God hears. And as we pray, secondly, notice the heavens opened. The heavens opened as he was praying. Oh, that is needed, isn't it? We need an open heaven. If we've ever needed an open heaven in our land and in our lives, it's right now. Prayer opened the heavens. Think about this. If the heavens can be opened, it also means they can be what? Closed. If something can be opened, if it talks about as the and the heavens were opened, it means they can be closed. Sometimes this does us good to kind of think about the opposite side of whatever is being said, the opposite side of the coin. If the heavens can be opened, that means they can be closed. And I believe when we don't pray and when we don't seek and when we don't hunger and thirst, we forfeit the blessings that could be ours and that could be upon the land because the heavens stay shut. Just like tithing, according to Malachi 3:10, it opens the windows of heaven. So does prayer. So as he was praying, the heavens were opened. Number three, the Holy Spirit descended. Hallelujah. We need a descent of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives and in our church. Jesus, being our example, was not only baptized in water, though he had never sinned, he was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed both baptisms, I believe we do too. We don't just need to be baptized in water up there. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit here. In his divinity, the Lord was perfect and he didn't need anything. But in his humanity, he needed the third member of the Trinity to be upon him as he would go about his earthly life and ministry. We see that relationship over in the next chapter of Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was full of the Holy Spirit. It didn't say, then Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It said he was, it put the word in there, full. I think there is a specific thing we need to learn there, that we can be full of the Holy Spirit. We can have the Holy Spirit, and then we can also be full of the Holy Spirit. And then notice it says over in verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. We can have the Holy Spirit inside. Remember the donuts last Sunday. We can have the Holy Spirit inside. Every believer, every person that's a Christian has the Holy Spirit inside, but not everybody is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit like the donut with the icing on the outside and the inside. By the way, I ate those donuts. They were so good. I thought Phil had eaten them. And so I asked him, I said, how were those done? He goes, I didn't eat them. I said, well, they were gone. He goes, I hid them. So Tuesday, he showed me where they were at. And they were hidden in the sound booth. And I said, well, they're not going to be hiding any longer. So they were good. They were very good. Just as good as the Holy Spirit is good. And even the Holy Spirit's even better. Amen. So it says Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And then on down in verse 18 and 19, he read from the scroll in Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus himself said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see the difference? Not just in me, but upon me. We need the blessing of the Holy Spirit, church, upon us. And through the Gospels, we see Jesus preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons and raising the dead, all by the Holy Spirit upon him, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. And he went back to heaven. He told his followers to go and wait for the Holy Spirit who would come and fill them so that they could do what he's been doing. The Lord wants us to do what he's been doing. In fact, he said what? Greater things than this shall you do. The Lord has promised us as his church that we would do greater things than he did. Not in necessarily in the sense of greater healings or greater miracles, greater in the sense of numbers. Remember last week, Jesus, I told you, could only be in one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all believers, it's like Jesus is here, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is there, and Jesus is here, and Jesus is over there, and Jesus is here and there and everywhere. Because you got Spirit-filled believers clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit on high that's taking Jesus everywhere. That's what it means by greater things. Church, we must let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Lord, do what you want to do in me. So first of all, he wants to. Point one, he wants to do something. The subtitle was, let the Lord do something. Number one, he wants to. Number two, you need him to. You need him to do something. And you need him to. T-O-O. You need him to do something, and you need him too. You need him also. You need Jesus to fill you so you can be like him and so you can fulfill your God-given call and purpose. You need him to do something in you. Like I said again, I keep referring back to last Sunday. If you weren't here, look online, listen to the message, watch the message. Be a part of the 120, not the 380. Be a part of the 120 that said, Lord, we want you to do something. We're going in obedience. Don't be like the 380 who went home and didn't bother to seek after the Lord. Not only do you need the Lord to do something, your family needs the Lord to do something. How many of you can think of your family members and know and see that the Lord needs to do something there? Amen, every one of us. There is somebody in our family that needs the Lord. There is somebody in our family that's going through some stuff. There's somebody in our family that's not saved. There's somebody in our family that's having some problems. Lord, you need to do something. And we need to pray the Lord do something in our family. How about friends? Y'all have any friends that the Lord needs to do something in their life? Neighbors? How about our country? Our country needs the Lord to do something. Man, if you can't ever think of anything to pray about when you come down to an altar or you're by your bed at night, you can't think of one thing to pray about, just pray about our country. Our country needs a lot of prayer. Needs a major healing. We need to pray that the Lord would not only visit our country, but inhabit our country in a powerful way through the power of the Holy Spirit. So not only does God want to do something, you need him to do something. Everybody say this, I need the Lord to do something. As we avail ourselves to him, as we hold up our hands almost and surrender to him, as we talk to him and pray to him, our prayer should be, Lord, continue to do something in me. We can all get closer to God. We can all be more like him. There's always room for improvement, amen? Number three, not only does he want to, and not only do you need him to, this is the most important question, number three, will you let him? Will you let him? He wants to, you need him to, but will you let him? Will you let the Lord do what he wants to do in you? You see, we hold the key. The Lord's a perfect gentleman. He's never going to come in and kick down the door of your heart. He's going to do what? He's going to knock. He's just going to continue to knock and say, hey, I want to do something in you. Will you let me? Will you let me guide your life? Will you let me direct your future? Will you let me bring the people into your life that you need to be brought into your life? Will you let me empower you with the power of the Holy Spirit? Will you let me help you? The Lord is saying, will you let me? He simply knocks until we open the door. And then he stands ready to give whatever is needed. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Hebrews 11:6 says, he rewards those who diligently seek him. The people, 120 strong in the upper room, were all filled with the Holy Spirit because they wanted the Lord to do something. Because they wanted what the Lord promised. Lord, we want you to do something. We don't want to stay like we are, God. We don't want to stay in the same condition we're in. We want you to do something in us. Hallelujah. And he will. He will. If that's your heart cry, he will. You know, Jesus said, if the Father asks if your children ask for a fish, will he give him a stone or a serpent? I hadn't this in my notes. It just came to me, so I'm having trouble repeat. I think it's in Luke chapter 11. Let me just read it instead of stumble all over it here. Jack, where's it at? Here it is, Luke 11:11. Now I can remember that now, 11:11. Luke 11:11. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. Carol and I have been watching Cruise for the last few days while Jessica and Caleb went on their vacation up to Colorado. And we took Cruise to Copeland's Office Supply. Well, you're saying, yeah, is he interested in office supplies? Yes, I have a really smart grandson who wants office supplies. No, on the far east side of Copeland's store, there's lots of toys, good toys. So we're going on, he's into trucks and cars. Imagine that. And so we pull up there, and he's looking at these little cars, and man, he was loving those cars. And he found a little red 4x4 1955 Chevy truck about this big that he just had to have. He wanted that. Well, as his papa, I could not turn him down. I'm not going to say, no, Cruz, you can't have that. I'm not going to give that to you. You sit down. I didn't do that. I said, honey, whatever you want. You want two of them? I tell you that analogy because sometimes we think God is just some horrible, angry, mysterious God who wants to be mean and withhold stuff from you. I want to tell you, he is not. He loves you a million times more than a papaw loves his grandson. And he'll give you that little red 1955 Chevy truck 4x4, so to speak. Amen. He wants to do something. I wanted to give that little red truck to Cruz. And Cruz loved it. The Lord satisfies the hungry. He quenches the thirsty. Why? Because he cares about the harvest. He cares about the lost. He cares about the hurting. He wants to see them healed. He wants to see them helped. He wants to see them whole. And he uses us as his gloves. I told you I forgot them last Sunday. I remembered them this Sunday. Try to hold the mic. Where are his gloves? I need a bigger size. He uses gloves to work in this world. He uses gloves to work on our nation and in your family and in you. The Lord always wears gloves when he works. Whose is gloves? We are. You see, this glove could do nothing by itself, just laying there. It's been laying there for 30 minutes, hadn't done a thing. I've kind of kept an eye on it. But as soon as my hand was in it, these gloves become alive. These gloves become filled. Filled. We need to be filled so the Holy Spirit can use us just like I'm using these gloves. Somebody, you're going to punch somebody? Yeah, I'm going to punch the devil. We need to do some devil punching, amen? He's doing enough destruction. Somebody needs to kick him. Kick him. Punch him. Almost got carried away. Pastor Phil almost came upon me. Yes, the Holy Spirit wants to fill us so that he can do his work in this world. He wears gloves when he works in your neighborhood and in our church and in our community and in your family. He wears gloves, and that's you. Will you let the Holy Spirit come upon you just as the Holy Spirit came upon him? You know, Tuesday morning I was in here praying. And I was praying about this service, and the whole idea of let the Lord do something came into my mind at that point. Because I was really trying to decide what I was going to speak about. I wanted to speak on the Holy Spirit again, but this whole thing of we'll let the Lord do something came to me really strong. And as I was walking around praying, all of a sudden I visualized that hole right up at the, it's not a hole, but that it looks like where there could have been a light in the very, very peak of the ceiling. And I saw that as kind of like an opening. And in my mind's eye, I could visualize an open heaven, a funnel coming down. And God was just standing there pouring out his Spirit and pouring out his blessing, and everything we needed was coming into that funnel. And that funnel was coming down into this congregation. And if you've ever done construction, which I haven't, but a lot of you guys have, Brother Green over here knows about this, pouring cement. They got that, I've watched it. I'm good at watching, doing cement, not doing it. But they got that cement mixer, and that cement's coming down, and somebody's holding the trough. I guess it's called a trough. And you know what? If they need some cement over here, the guy kind of guides that trough and pushes it over, and it pushes over here, and then they need some, and so they pull that trough over here and lay some, and well, we got to have some over here, and so the guy pulls that trough. They pull that trough wherever that cement is needed so that the job is done. And I think when the Lord is pouring out his blessing and his Holy Spirit on a church, he's looking for the people that are saying, I need it. I want that. I want more of you, God. I'm over here, Lord. Fill me. Here's my funnel, Lord. I'm ready. Here's my funnel. Lord, fill me up. Fill me up with the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Come down upon me. Empower me. Lord, I'll be your gloves because there's a whole lot of work that needs done in this world. I'll be your gloves, God. You just fill me up. I'm ready. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Are you ready for the Lord to do something? Amen. He needs to do something, and he wants to do something. In conclusion, missions or music team, musicians, would you come, singers? What does he want to do? Well, he wants to save. The biggest and most important thing that the Lord wants to do in this world is to seek and to save that which is lost. His number one mission is to save souls from hell. He's come to save. What else does he want? He wants to move freely. The Lord wants to be able to move freely. He doesn't want to be held up anywhere. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to be quenched, and the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be grieved. I heard a guy talking about the difference between quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when you do something that the Holy Spirit wouldn't want you to do. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit is when you don't do something that the Holy Spirit would want you to do. It's kind of like two rails of a train or of a track, two guardrails. You got one side, you got grieving the Spirit, doing something that the Holy Spirit would not want you to do. It grieves him. Quenching the Holy Spirit is when you don't do something that the Lord would want you to do, that the Holy Spirit would want you to do. So we kind of live in between quenching and grieving. We don't want to do either one. We got to walk the balance. Lord, I don't want to grieve you, and Lord, I don't want to quench you. I want you to be able to do through me and through my church and through our family anything you want to do. And Lord, we don't want to do anything that you don't want us to do. So the Lord wants to be able to move freely. He also wants to baptize in the Holy Spirit and refill in the Holy Spirit. He wants to heal and he wants to restore. He wants to bless and anoint. He wants to set people free. He wants to distribute the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to call people to ministry. I firmly believe there are future evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries right here in this building today. Just like Kaylee, a few years ago, she was in a youth group, I suppose, in a church. Were you at First Assembly in Chickasha there? First Assembly of God, doing all the things teenagers to do, but the Lord touched her heart and says, Kaylee, I need you. I've got something I need you to do. Giving people hope and peace and joy and love and bringing comfort and boosting faith. Sending revival to the church and sending a great awakening again to the nation and to the world. That's some of the things the Lord wants to do. Let's let the Lord do something in us today. Lord, do something in me. Would you stand with me this morning? Just turn your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, do something in me. Lord, do something in me. Oh, Lord, fill me again. Fill me again, oh, Lord. Save me. Fill me, touch me, heal me, guide me, call me, Lord. Whatever you need and whatever I need, you know perfectly well what I need today. Maybe I need hope. Maybe I need peace. Maybe I need help. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. Lord, send that trough, that spout of your Holy Spirit my direction because I need you today. I need you, Lord Jesus. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with more of your power, more of your grace, more of your love, more of your mercy and your help. Oh, Father God, touch us, Lord, today. Hallelujah. 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 The team is going to sing a final song. It'll be our altar call. If you need prayer, want prayer, want to come around these altars today and say, Lord, fill me, I encourage you to do that this morning. We'll be down here to pray for you. Pastor Phil and I and some of the elders will be down here. We will pray for you. Thank you, Jesus.
You breathe.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You speak. And my fears grow dim. Every word burning deep within. I am overwhelmed again. I am overwhelmed again. You never stop singing your love to me. Stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love yous, 'cause I stop singing your love to me. Oh, you never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you's, 'cause I love you. You never stop singing your love to me. You never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you. Changing, never failing, your love makes a way. It's always searching, always speaking, your love stays the same. It's never changing, never failing, your love makes a way. It's always searching, always speaking, your love stays the same. Stop singing your love to me. You never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you's, 'cause I love you. You never stop singing your love to me. No. You never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you's, 'cause I love you. To your I love. Never changing, never failing, your love makes a way. It's always searching, always speaking, your love stays the same. It's never changing, never failing, your love makes a way. It's always searching, always speaking, your love stays the same. Never stop singing your love to me. You never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you's, 'cause I love you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody, let's lift your hands with me to the Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We're going to continue to hunger and thirst and seek after you with all that's within us, Lord. God, we're not satisfied with where we are. We want to go higher. Father God, we want to go further. Lord, we want to go deeper in you, Lord. We want you to just pour out your spirit upon this church, upon me, upon the family, Lord, upon our nation, Lord. We just call upon you right now, Lord, to do a mighty work in us. We just thank you, Lord, and we just give you praise, God, for what you are doing. Lord, just continue to stir us. Stir us. Stir us to hunger. Stir us to thirst like we never have before, God. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, God. We give you praise, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sing that one more time. Oh, you never stop singing your love to me. Oh, you never stop singing your love to me.
For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love you's, 'cause I love you.
Your I love you's,
'cause I love you.
Thank you, Lord. God, go with us, we pray, God, today. Help us, Father God, to just continue to be your gloves. Fill us, empower us, in Jesus' name, amen.